Podcast ini disokong oleh Permata Sapura, pencakar langit ikonik baru di tengah-tengah Kuala Lumpur. Bangunan indah ini diilhamkan menggunakan profil siluet Gunung Kinabalu yang berdiri megah. Permata Sapura dianugerahkan dengan unit komersial terbaik di Kuala Lumpur oleh CIDBQ Lasik Achievement Award, Lembaga Pembangunan Industri Pembinaan Malaysia. Berlatar belakangkan menara berkembar Petronas dan dihubungkan dengan KL Convention Center. Permata Sapura, lokasi pejabat yang eksklusif dan terindah di Kuala Lumpur. Hubungi Permata Sapura sekarang untuk tujuan melawat lokasi dan menyewa tapak pejabat.
Amans Media adalah peneraju kandungan dunia IT dalam bahasa Malaysia. Kami memberi tumpuan terhadap perkembangan dunia IT di dalam dan di luar negara. Kami menghasilkan tutorial dan menggunakan bahasa Malaysia sepenuhnya. Layari amans.my, amanz.my hari ini.
Korang tengah layan podcast Amans, bahagian dari jaringan podcast di Amans ni. Apa khabar semua? Aku Mak Pis.
Aku Yem.
Okey Yem, aku rasa minggu, untuk sesi kali ni kita ada banyak isu-isu serius yang kita nak cakap. Dan in fact benda ni aku dengan Yem selalu bincangkan dalam podcast-podcast Amans dalam sesi-sesi sebelum ni. So kita get on right to it, sesi ataupun segmen pertama, iaitu apa berita terbesar minggu ni. Okey, kalau mengikut laporan New York Times ni, Instagram telah dilaporkan struggles with fears of losing its pipeline, iaitu pengguna muda. In other words, Instagram merasakan mereka struggling dan mereka takut untuk kehilangan segmen mereka yang boleh dikatakan amat disayangi dan sangat dikasihi dan sentiasa dialu-alukan, iaitu muda, golongan muda. Dan aplikasi tersebut yang kita tahu Facebook position Instagram ni sebagai mereka punya growth engine, sudah lama sebenarnya wrestle with retaining and engaging teenagers. Dan ini menurut dokumen-dokumen yang didapati secara internally, ya, bermakna orang-orang Instagram sendiri risau tentang perkara ni. Dan in fact, kita tahu bila Instagram reach 1 billion users pada tahun 2018, Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook, we all know who he is, Facebook Chief Executive, telah mengatakan bahawa ni merupakan a very big milestone. Now, actually, I think the question remains is will they get the second billion? Under current punya sentiment, I don't think so. Especially bila kita lihat, all these issues about young girls, having to struggle with mental issues, especially kita tahulah dalam era ini yang sangat cyberbullying dan sebagainya, they have very low self-esteem disebabkan oleh penggunaan social media sebegini yang tidak membawa kesan baik kepada their mental health. So what say you, Yip?
Aku, kalau kau tengok, dekat Malaysia ni ada satu badan nama dia Content Forum. Kau pergi contentforum.my, ini di bawah kawal selia KKMM, Kementerian Komunikasi dan Multimedia. Content Forum ni nama lamanya CMCF. Sekarang ni dia dah mencari brand lah, dia tak nak pakai CMCF, dia nak pakai Content Forum dia. Content Forum ni sekarang dia ada satu guidebook tau tentang bagaimana orang boleh refer to this code, CODE. Kalau kau lawyer, kau faham lah. Code is different from law. It's different from rule book, guideline dan sebagainya. Code is merely recommendations and suggestions on how engkau boleh berbicara, berkomunikasi di multimedia. Isu dia sekarang, code yang ada oleh Content Forum dah lapuk. Tak boleh pakai dah. Sebab as we know, internet is rapidly changing like anything. Jadi sekarang ni, bulan 8 ni, bulan 10 ni, ada satu exercise yang dibuat oleh Content Forum mengalu-alukan konsultasi daripada orang awam untuk menambah baikkan tentang bagaimana cara kita boleh kawal selia secara recommendation pun tak apa on apa online behavior. Dan ini termasuk penggunaan Instagram oleh remaja. Sebab kalau engkau nak tahu, remaja tidak boleh buka akaun Instagram, melanggar terms of conduct Instagram. Tetapi
what's stopping them from just doing email and just doing any email and
tak no, not email. Everybody is on. Yeah. I mean, just give a fake email. Done.
Yalah.
Everybody is on.
Yalah.
Anak aku yang 14 tahun ni pun ada Instagram. Bila aku tanya macam mana apa semua, dia pun cakap, I'm just going to do, dia kata. Lantak lah. So, what does this mean? This means you cannot stop the train from going, right?
Hmm.
But at the end of the day,
you can put in the
mental health
safe measures.
Yeah, you can put safe measures and the most important thing here is Instagram, dia tengok kita sebagai cattle, right? Sebagai livestock. And remember the old adage, if you don't pay for the thing, that means you are the product. So Instagram is free, therefore Instagram treats you like the product.
Hmm.
And just like any other product life cycle, dia ada life cycle. Engkau dengan aku dah tak pakai Friendster. Tapi kau dengan aku might have different stages of Facebook. Aku dah lama dah buang Facebook. Lama dah. Alright, I'm talking 5-10 years dah.
Wow.
Alright, 5-6 years. I don't know about you.
I still have.
But
I still have.
Instagram, Instagram, I'm slowly dropping off. I just cannot lah. This Instagram thing, aku dah tak boleh lah. Aku lagi suka LinkedIn lah, sumpah lah. So, when
LinkedIn
we go
paling aman.
That, paling aman, paling relax, paling professional, paling tak ada troller apa semua. So for now, things can change. I'm just telling you. Tapi at the end of the day, if things are requiring public opinion and public consultation, macam content forum sekarang mengalu-alukan pendapat daripada orang ramai, masuk, cerita sikit apa masalah kau supaya kau boleh menambah baikkan multimedia code secara langsung. And I think because Instagram is treating us like livestock, they need a new life cycle. They need my daughter to continue to be the product because aku dah tak nak jadi product. And when this happens, sekarang anak aku dah a lot aware of the issues surrounding Instagram, a lot aware of the issues surrounding Facebook, jahat. Now she's getting the idea that okay, maybe me being on this platform is not necessarily a good thing. Not just for me, but for all the other teenage girls. So, bila dia dah nampak dah benda ni, kau bayangkan lah, dia ada compounding effect to all the other girls out there. So, I don't know whether they will continue to be on this platform. Tapi yang penting adalah ni, memang betul Instagram dah panik dan memang betul Instagram takut dia akan hilang customer. And my worry is this. Dia akan reincarnate as another social media, something else, Facebook and then Instagram
next,
and
the
now
next Instagram,
Facegram contohnya, Facegram ataupun Instabook, whatever lah. Actually, Instabook is the real thing kan? But Facegram, why not?
Aku rasa benda ni, you are right, it's about a life cycle and okay, apa yang sebenarnya kau cakap tentang content forum tu is actually should be taken seriously dan sebenarnya if any of us, in fact, aku pun rasa macam nak pergi and see what I can contribute towards making Instagram or whatever social media ataupun multimedia code di Malaysia ini to get better and also kita galakkan orang ramai, pendengar-pendengar yang turut passionate about this particular issue to also salurkan your pandangan dan sebagainya kepada content forum. Okay, kita berehat untuk sesi kali ini. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen kedua iaitu apa lagi berita besar minggu ni.
Podcast ini disokong oleh ringgit.com. Ringgit adalah portal media kewangan dalam bahasa Melayu yang memaparkan berita dan isu mengenai industri di Malaysia dan serantau. Portal ini cenderung membahaskan pelbagai topik bermula dari ekonomi, ke pasaran, ke fintech hinggalah ke startup. Layari ringgit.com, rnggt.com hari ini untuk mendapatkan maklumat terkini dan membahaskan perkara yang penting berkenaan dalam industri kewangan. ringgit.com.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Aman bersama aku, Mak Pis dan juga Yim. Kita ke segmen kedua iaitu apa lagi berita terbesar tu ni. Okey, tadi Yim sebenarnya dalam segmen pertama kita ada mention LinkedIn sebagai benda yang paling aman dan paling bagus dan sebagainya. Newsflash by New York Times, LinkedIn dilaporkan akan menutup perkhidmatan mereka di China Dan ini disebabkan oleh apa yang mereka sifatkan sebagai suasana yang mencabar. Ada quotation marks, korang tak boleh dengar, tapi aku cakap lah ada macam quotation mark, challenging environment. Dan perkhidmatan yang dimiliki oleh Microsoft ini sebenarnya posting-posting on LinkedIn di China ni sebenarnya ada some part of censorship untuk mengikut China punya compliance laws dan ini hanya spesifik kepada China. Dan aku rasa menurut laporan yang sama, mereka mengatakan bahawa mereka akan offer a new app just for the Chinese market, focus solely on job postings. Dan tak ada social networking features lah, seperti sharing post, commenting dan sebagainya. Di mana kita tahu benda ni sangat sinonim dengan LinkedIn. Tapi aku terkejut dan tak terkejut. Aku tahu China memang clamping down hard on all these tech services, or rather this techie stuff. Tapi aku rasa I'm surprised LinkedIn also fall to this challenge.
You know, masa LinkedIn memulakan perniagaan diorang dekat China pada tahun 2014 dengan localized service, dia ada bagi tentative model kepada semua syarikat internet dunia untuk tengok macam mana boleh masuk China. Kalau kau tengok, Facebook tak wujud dalam China, Instagram tak wujud dalam China, Twitter tak wujud dalam China. Tak wujud. In fact, one big Silicon Valley company that is in China is Airbnb, which is quite interesting. Sebab, you know, I don't think China that finds it hard to duplicate ataupun copy Airbnb. Tetapi yeah, for some reason, Airbnb
the market is so big, right, that you can actually coexist with Airbnb, I guess.
So you know, other than Airbnb, there's not much companies going on in China that is coming from Silicon Valley. Jadi bila LinkedIn masuk China, boleh katakan seluruh dunia tengah tengok macam mana LinkedIn can pull it off. Tapi if you look at it, fast forward 7 years, 2014 hingga 2021, they can't do it. They can't censor posts. They can't make it possible for them to comply with Chinese laws. They pull out. At the end of the day, sama. Kalau kau ada syarikat internet, sama. You cannot do it. You cannot pull it off. You cannot. Kau kena ingat Airbnb, dia nak sewa rumah. It's a bit different from knowledge tau. This is knowledge tau. Information. And then, you know, whether it's misinformation, disinformation, ataupun correct information, Twitter, Instagram and all that, everything goes at the speed of thought, you know. Laju gila, bro. Aku tak apa benda semua, aku tak puas hati, aku tweet. Aku tak suka makan, aku ambil gambar, aku tunjuk makan. How do you censor these things, right? So you can't. That's why they create their own internet company. And LinkedIn is the last bastion to do it. If anything, bro, the time LinkedIn has called it quits for China really shows that there is no other option and no other hope for all the other internet companies around the world to survive in China.
To replicate their success, impossible.
Okay. The small picture here is, how long can the Chinese government continue with this censorship? Sebab, you cannot expect 1.4 billion people, kau nak censor, I don't know lah bro, it's not realistic lah. It's just
but
not realistic
lah. They seem to be doing it, right? They are still fine. They are operating at optimum level. They are, you know, doing and shaking things. Still a global superpower, last I checked. So aku rasa it seems to be working for them. Aku tak nampak when Xi Jinping probably thought it's time for his successor to take over. I don't know. I don't foresee it anytime soon lah.
You don't think so? You think this is working, is it?
I think for China. I think for us, kita kan, I mean dari luar kan, because we have our own set of regulations and also we see. But aku rasa di China, and I've spoken to some people who still work before in China, they seem to think it's fine. And I think, I don't know whether it's a culture mentality or like, you know, they know bila kat China, this is how we do things. I don't know. Maybe we have to like get them in the forum with North Korea and stuff and you know, discuss things and see how they categorize things. But aku rasa it seems to be working. This I wouldn't say clamp. Okay, of course we sifatkan sebagai clampdown, but this regulation seems to benefit not just the country. I think the people are on board with it, and the people who are not on board with it will end up, you know, go to other places, Taiwan, Malaysia, US.
You know,
all the like-minded people will stay in China. They have enough. I believe they have enough to sustain a working economy there. They'll be fine. Cuma, you know,
That's an understatement of the year. When you have 1.4 billion middle class, that is the world already. They don't need us. Okay, we need them. Not the other way around, man.
And believe me, Ayim, aku sebenarnya surprised that they have their own version of YouTube. Tapi aku tak ingat nama dia. There is some name lah. And in fact, content creators, they have multiple accounts, which is one YouTube and another one China. For the purpose of this discussion, I'm going to say China.
Yuku.
China.
No. Yes. I'm telling you.
Yuku. Yeah, it's Yuku. And Yuku have a different set of, content infringement now. They are more open to you know, for you to letak content others from other country. Sebab they cannot interfere. Aku tak tahu lah, I could be wrong. But basically, in the US version ataupun the global version of YouTube, benda tu censored. Tapi in Yuku, tak. So they host their content over at Yuku. And they seem to be doing well. And then aku rasa, you know, I mean, if you're a Netherlands born creator or a Netherlands based creator, why would you need to do a China based hosting site? It must have meant something, right? You're getting significant volume from there, right? That's why you're doing. So I'm thinking they'll be fine. They'll be totally fine.
Kalau kau nak tengok Yuku ni, yuku.com. Yuku.com ni sebenarnya boleh access from Malaysia. They have a lot of social network elements to it. Dia ada macam these creators, adalah these pretty China doll girls, kau pun tekan lah. Dia ada particular site, lepas tu ada ada dia punya gaming element, dia ada dia punya betting element.
Semua
dia
ada.
Punya all this is crazy. Kalau aku faham bahasa Mandarin, I probably spend hours on Youku or any of the website equivalent. But this is what I mean. Bila kau tengok active user YouTube, I don't know the numbers. I can Google and I can find the answer. Korang pun yang mendengar ni pun, kalau kau nak tahu, kau Google je kau dapat tahu.
Memang dapat lah.
But I don't know whether that amount, X amount is more or less than Youku.
My suspicion is
it's less. Because kau tengok Netflix is a big deal, bro. Big deal. Oh my God, huge. Satu dunia tahu. Semua meninggal bila dengar Maxis. Ya Allah, apa ni? Apa dia fikir Netflix ni dahsyat. Eh, iQIYI 600 juta active monthly users, okay?
Yeah, iQIYI. Which is Netflix is only juta. 200 million, eh? Netflix only 200 million.
Kau bayangkan? One third. Oh, jinx. Yeah. But yes, it's not a joke, bro. They can survive without us. No problem. Bukan they can survive. They are thriving, yes.
Okay?
That's why orang nak masuk. Jadi, I don't know what it took for LinkedIn to chow China. I'm sure it was costing them a lot in terms of brand reputation, in terms of thought process.
It's not tenable kot. Benda ni tak boleh, benda tu tak boleh. It's just no longer tenable, maybe.
Yeah. So I know it's not tenable, but there is an opportunity cost that you have to weigh against possible or potential revenue. Because of the potential cost versus the potential revenue, I think it became increasingly clear that the potential revenue is so small compared to the cost that they have to bear. Not just financial cost, but non-financial cost.
Legal, compliance, because whatever.
Because of this gap getting wider and wider and wider, I think it was a non-brainer, a no-brainer for them to chow China. But it does show to the world that if you want to enter China, you have to be like them or else get out of the way. Tak boleh. But bring Western philosophy into this shit.
But just extending this further, Rahim, we are talking about this because Weibo is in China, apa-apa. Can you imagine there might come a time when Weibo suddenly like okay, let's go global. And like we let
no, tak boleh, they can't pull it off. They can't. You know why? iQIYI, 600 juta active user. Datang Malaysia, tak dapat 10,000 macam nak mati, bro.
Tak, I mean if they crack the code, they become TikTok lah kot. I don't know.
What code? No, okay, ByteDance is different, okay? ByteDance, uh-huh. Even though it's a China-based company, everything inside is still populated by the Western coders, Western executives. Yes, it's a company made in China, but ByteDance is not a Chinese company per se if you think it the way the Chinese company would operate. So, if you think about Weibo, transplant keluar, no. But if Weibo wants to reinvent itself and call it something else and behave like whatever Twitter ke Facebook ke benda ke, possible. But to transplant that brand to another brand, tak berjaya. Dia akan jadi macam iQIYI. Tapi kalau kau cakap macam ByteDance and TikTok, can. Possible. Possible. But it has to be a complete rebranding to fit Western culture and Western norms. Otherwise, dia tak akan fit langsung.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It'll be interesting to see. Okay, kita berehat sebentar. Lepas ni kita akan ke sesi seterusnya. Segmen teman amans.
Zaman sekarang, kita banyak akaun social media. Bila nak kongsi status, kan bagus kalau boleh dapat semuanya serentak? Social.co boleh selaraskan proses ini dengan mudah. Layari social.co. SOCL.co sekarang. Zaman sekarang, kita banyak akaun social media. Bila nak kongsi status, kan bagus kalau boleh dapat semuanya serentak? Social.co boleh selaraskan proses ini dengan mudah. Layari social.co. SOCL.co sekarang.
Okay, seperti biasa, ini merupakan segmen ketiga, iaitu segmen teman amans. Okay, seperti biasa, kalau ada apa-apa soalan untuk berikan kepada aku dan Yim, boleh emailkan ke ask@amans.my. Aku ulang sekali lagi, ask@amans.my. Aku dan Yim mengalung-alungkan soalan daripada korang semua, tak kisahlah dari bentuk email ke ataupun audio. Tetapi dalam untuk sesi kali ini, ada soalan daripada saudari Amira, di mana beliau telah emailkan kepada kami, tanya tentang, okay, menarik ni, Yim, statement ataupun kenyataan yang dikeluarkan oleh Menteri Kesihatan YB Khairi Jamaluddin tentang nak susahkan golongan yang tidak ambil vaksin ni. Apa pandangan? Okay. Alah, tu soalan bonus sangat lah. Tapi aku rasa benda ni interesting tau, Yim. Sebab aku rasa there's so many elements. Eh. Dia ada, terima kasih first Amira untuk this question. Dia ada banyak elemen, dia ada political element dan sebagainya, political element, one side, health element, the other side. But it just spark a whole debate kan about human rights, pasal tak kesian ke golongan anti-vaksin, mereka pun manusia dan sebagainya. Aku rasa, you know where we stand, at least where I stand when it comes to vaksin. Tapi aku rasa orang tak faham how serious golongan anti-vaksin. Aku tahu mungkin ada yang tak akan bersetuju dengan aku, sebenarnya diorang ni sebenarnya health terrorists lah, in a way. Mereka bukan teroris yang bom dan sebagainya, but they are health terrorists, they are health hazard to us. Aku tahu ada di Facebook menyatakan bahawa, oh, sama je kau kena vaksin dua dos, aku tak ada vaksin, sama je risiko kena jangkitan COVID. Aku minta tunjukkan jurnal boleh tak apa yang cakap tu. Memang ada beza dari segi risiko golongan yang dah vaksin kena jangkitan COVID dengan golongan yang tak vaksin kena jangkitan COVID. Kena faham bahawa korang kalau yang tak ambil vaksin, jangkitan COVID kepada korang berisiko dia lebih tinggi untuk jadi lebih teruk, dan yang lagi teruk ialah korang berpotensi untuk menjadi what aku rasa kau pernah dengar term ni, reservoir for mutation, iaitu akan jadi potensi untuk COVID bermutasi dalam diri anda dan sebarkan kepada golongan-golongan yang dah vaksin. Tak tahulah jadi varian Omega ke apa dan sebagainya, rosak lagi teruk. This is the risk we are talking about. Untuk aku rasa aku rasa this is no brainer, it shouldn't be discussed. I'm with KJ, let's get on with it. Aku dah tahu kau macam mana.
Kalau kau pergi COVID Now punya website, kalau kau klik the first page tu, population vaccinated, dia ada tiga bar. Remaja, dewasa dengan jumlah populasi. Kalau kau klik dekat dewasa 18 tahun ke atas, yang tak vaccinated hanya 2.8%. 2.8%. Now, of course, there's a lot of asterisks, a lot of caveat. Ada a lot of superscript. Superscript number one is, this data is based on angka data banci tahun 2000. I don't know when. Okay, 2000 whatever. I don't know. Number two, there's a lot of undocumented migrants dekat Malaysia. That is why kalau dekat Klang Valley ni, sampai 130%, 140% vaccinated. Why? Because kita jangkakan ada 100 adult dekat KL, tapi yang ternak 130 orang, mana datang the extra 30, ini semua undocumented migrant workers. Orang macam jaga guard, orang macam all this, semua ada. Okay. Number three is, we don't know whether these adults were already tagged on MySejahtera ataupun this is the number that was supposed to register on MySejahtera but did not register on MySejahtera. So the number could very well be bigger. Whatever it is, because of the variables involved, kita tak tahu banyak. Apa yang kita tahu, yang data yang ada adalah 2.8% dewasa belum lagi vaksinasi. Kenapa dia tak vaksinasi? Kita tengok apa yang contohnya Rita Rudaini menceritakan. Rita Rudaini ni puak-puak engkau ni, Mat Pis, belah-belah sana.
Belah apa?
Utara sana.
Belah-belah utara.
Oh, dia orang utara sana. Utara, okay. Dia bilang, she is not anti-vaxxer. She is not anti-vaxxer. Dia tak menghalang sesiapa pun dalam keluarga dia untuk mendapatkan vaksinasi. Dia kata ini semua depend on individual choice. Dan dia kata dia memerlukan sedikit masa lagi dan dia masih lagi mempertikaikan kepantasan vaksin ini dan menunggu. Dia menunggu. Ini semua ini her words, you know. You can goddamn Google me and all that.
Okay.
Menunggu dunia untuk accept vaksin. Okay. And for this vaccine to be proven effective in curbing COVID-19. Ini kenyataan-kenyataan orang yang menyakitkan hati tau.
Betul.
You cannot do this, bro. Ini bukan sakit dia tak nak ambil vaksin, dia je sakit. Dia tak ambil vaksin, kami semua sakit.
Betul.
Kami semua sakit.
Betul.
And then just because of her selfishness, and she certainly belongs in the 2.8% of unvaccinated adult population, there is a very possible, high possibility, dia punya kestupiditan ni akan infect orang lain dan orang lain pun now will be worried. So we have to clamp down hard and clamp down fast on anti-vaxxers. Okay, tapi at the same time, kalau kau tengok contohnya Anwar Ibrahim baru ni, kan Anwar Ibrahim dia cakap sikit, dia macam defend lah sikit, dia kata kita kena faham,
jangan apa, sombong
kena
sangat
faham itu ini.
Jangan sombong sangat.
Okay, what the hell is he trying to do? Why is
Kupu
he trying to appeal to 2.8% adult population, bro?
Yang tu yang akan menjadikan dia PM.
What, 2.8%?
That's the key.
Sebab tu lah dia tak jadi PM. Orang target at least 51%. Dia pergi target 2.8%.
Tak, masalahnya kau sokong 2.8% ni, kau berangerkan dia 97% tau. I am so triggered by anyone who is not happy with what KJ said. Sebab apa yang KJ cakap tu is my sentiments exactly. You don't want to get vaccinated, memang patutlah kerajaan menyusahkan diri kau. Sebab kau telah menyusahkan diri kau dan orang lain.
So buat
macam ambil lah vaksin.
Kita bukanlah nak kata, tak, dia tak nak ambil vaksin. No matter what, dia tak nak ambil vaksin. Kalau dia nak ambil vaksin, ni mak mentua aku, dia pun tak nak ambil vaksin. Tapi bila semua orang dah pressure dia, dah sampai kurang ajar dengan dia, aku cakap kurang ajar dengan mak mentua aku, bro. Aku cakap, mama ni mati, meninggal. Bila you mati nanti, rumah you nak bagi siapa? Nak bagi cucu terus ke you nak bagi I sebagai menantu you? Aku dah sampai that level tau. Dallas, semua orang dah pujuk baik, rayu, dah doa selamat, dah berbagai kurang ajar, gaduh apa semua. Dallas cocok juga. Okay, she's fine.
Okay.
But this 2.8 is holding out for a particular reason. It is because they are unrepented tau. Dia tak mau ambil no matter what.
No matter what.
The issue here is, andai kata KJ takes the hard road on them and takes them to court ke apa ke whatever lah. You are pissing off, and this is real. You will be pissing off astronomically 2.8% of the population.
Yeah.
And then the 90, aku tak ketik kira dah, 97%, 7%. Let's say, 97%,
97.2.
How many of 97.2, how many of them are going to be outraged, you tell me? Some, most, any? I think, katalah 97, my God lah, 96% will be okay with it.
Yeah.
1% will be upset.
Yeah, betul. Yeah,
so right. Get it done. So now,
get it done.
Andai kata Menteri Kesihatan ada mendengar podcast daripada podcast Amans, YB, KJ, dipersilakan. Go
teruskan.
Right on ahead. The people
teruskan.
Are with you.
No, teruskan.
No worries. Tak ada masalah. Plus, like I said, dalam podcast sebelum ni pun aku dah cakap, kita nak trigger whisky timah lah, whisky itulah kita nak trigger ini. In my life, I can be triggered maximum 5 slots. So kalau one item take one slot, I have to replace it with another. So I don't want anti-vaxxers to take one of the 5 slots. Yeah, I want to still be PC with Najib, one MDB.
Banyak lagi benda PC with penting. All
banyak lagi.
Yeah.
Okay. You anti-vaxxers, you're only 2.8% of the adult population. Bugger off.
Okay lah. On that note, aku rasa elok lah kita akhirkan segmen ni sebab aku rasa bugger off tu is the right word. To end this segment yang aku rasa cukup penuh dengan emosi-emosi negatif. Kita berehat sebentar, Aim. Lepas ni kita sambung segmen seterusnya. Terima
tak
kasih saudari
Abina. Aku tak boleh rehat. Aku tak boleh rehat. Sebentar ke lama ke aku tak boleh. Bila kena, aku baca kena. Putar rudai ni. Macam mana? Dah lah aku baca. Aku tengah makan. Lepas tu aku scroll Twitter aku. Lepas tu aku tengok apa benda. What is happening here? Lepas tu aku pun klik. Lala aku naik marah. Aku mengaung seorang-seorang dekat atas meja makan. Bini aku tanya, what is wrong with you? Shut up. If you finish your dinner. Aku cakap, no, cannot this. Bini aku macam, sudah lah kau bising-bising. Lala kau tidur rumah kan. I mean, like sleep lah kan. Tapi tak ada lah. Rehat sebentar.
Lepas ni kita sambung ke segmen seterusnya, segmen Ramalan atau The Zoom.
Tahukah anda industri permainan video merupakan antara industri terbesar di dunia yang bernilai berbilion-bilion ringgit? Dan saiz industri ini telah kekal gergasi selama beberapa dekad. Pada tahun 2020, pendapatan dari pasaran permainan PC di seluruh dunia dianggarkan bernilai lebih 100 bilion ringgit. Dapatkan berita dan rangkuman dunia permainan video terkini sepenuhnya dalam bahasa Malaysia di aksiz.com, aksiz.com hari ini.
Okey, kembali ke podcast Aman bersama aku, Mapis dan juga Yim. Ini merupakan segmen keempat, iaitu segmen Ramalan atau Nuzul. Okey, untuk sesi kali ini, aku percaya kita nak teruskan sebenarnya our conversation tentang LinkedIn ataupun HD, siapakah yang akan menjadi successor kepada LinkedIn di China? Adakah China akan mewujudkan a Weibo-like company untuk LinkedIn? Aku tak tahu. What do you think, Gim?
Dia, kalau kita tengok culture China ni, it's not fair and it's not right for us to say China is one country. Kalau kau pergi dekat, if you've ever been to America, you will realize that America is a problematic country because it is a collection of countries. Kita dekat Malaysia pun kita dah boleh tengok dah perbezaan orang Johor, macam mana dia orang Kelantan, macam mana dia orang Penang, kan? Yeah. And then you have the melting pot dekat KL. And then within the melting pot dekat KL and Klang Valley, there's a further melting pot. Contohnya dekat Kampung Baru, where it's so distinct. The identity of Kampung Baru is just brilliant. It's just so distinct. It's its own culture, right?
Betul.
And then itu Malaysia population 30 juta. Now you expand that to 300 million. That population is US. 300 million. You expand that. Florida is very different from California, is very different from Seattle, is very different from New York. Itu dia punya corner points. And then everything else in between is so different. Culture is so different, right? And then New York ni kita, sorry, America ni kita faham, kita, we can make the kind of differentiation because we are so exposed by the American media, all right? Everything, Netflix, apa nama, Hollywood, everything is an Americanized thing. Bila kau pergi China, I've been there a few times. I am shocked, bro. I have been to Shenzhen. I have been to Hangzhou. I have been to Beijing. I have been to Shanghai. You know, I have been to Tianjin. It's like visiting a separate country every time.
Every single time.
Why? Why? Because kalau 300 million US population pun, we know that it's a collection of many, many people, many culture, right? Imagine China with a population of 1.4 billion, right? Four or five times bigger than America. It is definitely four or five times having much, much more culture than America. Jadi, bila a particular internet company nak start, I can understand if it starts in Hangzhou, I can understand. It is after all the tech center of China. Tapi, kalau kau nak start dekat Hangzhou contohnya, where Alibaba is, kau nak pergi dekat Yiwu, where the SME world is, you start to realize if it starts where these places are, it will carry its original culture there. So if it starts in Hangzhou, it will be very entrepreneurial, it will be very commercialized, it will be very, and this is quite oxymoronic to say, it will be very capitalistic in nature, right?
Okay.
That's the fun part.
Yeah.
But yeah, exactly. Thank you. But if you go, if this thing starts in Yiwu or in Hangzhou, okay, where Xi Jinping punya PowerPoint is, it's going to carry that whole culture of how this is so in line with Xi Jinping punya culture and normative behavior. And then, of course, the same can be said about Beijing and all that. So I think, untuk menjawab soalan kau, yeah, of course, they are a land of copycats. Of course, they will copy. The question now is, will you see one ubiquitous brand being carried out across China ataupun many, many LinkedIns in many, many cities? You know why? Because LinkedIn is a little bit special than all the other social media sites. Because identity is key and because you do it for work. Tak kisahlah job posting ke, kau recruitment or hiring agent ke, ataupun you have a personality and a professional behavior that you want to marry the two online, and therefore you carry your professional status there. You know, Marcus Wong, assistant manager, FedEx China, FedEx Beijing, you will behave, but at the same time, you will be carrying the culture of, say, for instance, Beijing, contohnya. When that happens, it is very hard to replicate elsewhere, and then dia akan tepu. Unlike all the other scalable internet companies, the LinkedIn copycat in China that is very city-centric will be located to just one city. That is my
rapport. Going to be hyper-local, kan? Hyper-local kind.
Oh, yes, in that context, yes. But I mean, Beijing is not local lah. I mean, like, I don't know.
Which is more, what? I mean, six Malaysia. Yeah. Six Malaysians.
Yeah. Let us use this. Not hyperlocal, but geocentric. Let's just use that word.
Geocentric. Okay, okay.
That's, I think that makes more sense.
That's the more apt word. Okay, itu dia ramalan untuk sesi kali ini. Kita berehat sekali lagi. Lepas ni kita akan ke segmen terakhir, iaitu segmen baik buruk.
Kita semua tahu bahawa industri sukan adalah antara industri terbesar di dunia. Dari Euro 2020 ke Piala Dunia 2022. Dari Olimpik Tokyo ke Temasya Sukan Asia Hangzhou 22. Sukans.com menghimpunkan kesemua berita sukan terbesar di dalam dan di luar negara. Dapatkan berita penting di Liga M3 ke Liga Super di Sukans.com. Semuanya di sukanz.com.
Okey, kembali ke Podcast Amaz bersama aku, Mak Pis, dan juga Yim. Ini merupakan segmen terakhir untuk episod 30, iaitu segmen baik buruk. Okey, untuk baik, untuk sesi kali ini, Aim, aku sebenarnya lihat adolescence dah at least one dose dah melebihi 80%. That's very good news. Then aku rasa kita pun dah cakap bila if today you have reached 80% means 3 weeks from now you will be the adolescents will be fully vaccinated by 80%. Dan aku rasa ini merupakan a significant milestone. Good job MOH untuk dapat. Of course, it is, I would say, in terms of volume and in terms of number, way less than the adult vaccination. But aku rasa it's still a significant milestone lah untuk dapatkan this high of a number at this particular point in time.
It is very significant. Because right now you're looking at 30% ataupun 30% remaja dah dapat 2 dos. Dan betul apa kau cakap tu, dalam 2-3 minggu lagi, 80% akan mendapatkan dos lengkap. Yang unvaccinated, 20% lebih kurang ni, tak ramai remaja yang anti-vaxxer sebab diorang bukan bangang, bodoh, macam adult, macam Rita. Okay, diorang pandai. Dan because of that, diorang menggesa ibu bapa diorang untuk mendapatkan vaksinasi sama ada di sekolah ataupun di swasta. Dan isu dia sekarang adalah untuk menyampaikan lagi 20% ni. Tapi since we have gotten 80%, it's not unthinkable for us to reach very, very high, even 100% possibility. My worry is this, Mat Peace. My worry is this.
Okay.
Adults, 97.2% dah dapat first dose. Hmm. Adolescent ataupun remaja, 80% dah dapat at least first dose, assuming everybody will get second dose in a few weeks time, okay?
Yes.
It is still, the worry is this, it is still 78% population Malaysia mendapat vaksin. 78%. Let's call it 80% lah.
Yeah.
Is that enough?
Definitely
I don't think so.
Definitely not.
Dekat Singapore, 85% total population. Tapi dekat Malaysia, 77 total population. Not bad at all. At all. But this is the story that we need to talk about. Where is that 22% of the population unvaccinated? Is it children? Anak kau, kau ada satu anak.
Yes.
Kau baby. Okay, so he will not be vaccinated. Aku ada tiga anak. Satu je remaja, dua lagi baby. 7 years old dengan 9 years old, diorang tak akan dapat vaccination.
Yeah.
But is that it? Ataupun is it undocumented migrant workers? Is it prisoners, banduan? Is it anti-vaxxers adults? Who are they? That, and I think that moving forward, I think the government needs to be clear on who these people are. Kalau tak, kita tak tahu siapa yang tak vaccinated.
Exactly.
And that is very, very worrying.
Exactly. Tapi aku rasa, I think we can only do that when the numbers for 0 to 12 starts to come in, right? I think that's when we know for a fact.
Bila dia nak ni, yang start, kau tahu tak?
Aku tahu tak? Yang aku baca as in Pfizer and apa semua, they are still doing trials lah. It has not been approved yet. But everyone's talking about Pfizer Junior, everyone's talking about shots, you know, for kids. Tapi even then pun aku dengar it's not for 0 to 12, it's more like 3 to 11. Kan aku rasa
they're still not
vaccinating below 3. So my anak, hopefully by next year my anak will be 3. So hopefully okay lah, eligible lah. Tapi I mean there's still that population of 0 to 3, right? But there are also studies that say and this has been peer reviewed that aku tak boleh kata the actual journal, tapi this is where I read from a reputable source saying that kids need at least 4 days to shake off COVID-19 and this is we call an average kid lah, tak ada masalah kesihatan, not immunocompromised, a healthy kid. You would only require about 4 days to shake off COVID. So if we can also vaccinate this group, I'm sure we are getting very, very close to actually putting this COVID-19 under control for good lah. You know?
Yeah, okay. But it's not going to be easy, I can tell you that.
Kita akan sembang pasal benda ni. Aku rasa not just next month, 2 months from now, even 6 months from now. Actually, I hope we'll be talking about maybe less than 1% of the population lah unvaccinated. Hopefully lah, but I hope all the best to MOH. Let's get this done. Itu baik. Buruk macam mana pula, Im?
Buruk. Aku tak ada apa yang buruk lah. Aku rasa minggu ni semua okay je. Maybe LHDN CEO lah. LHDN CEO lah.
Aku agak terkejut lah dengan berita tu. Apa? I mean, like...
Dia punya kontrak. Ni aku nak cerita sikit. Dia kalau okay lah. Kita ni fact and fiction lah eh. Fakta dia adalah... LHDN mengumumkan bahawa kontrak untuk CEO LHDN dipendekkan kepada 19 Oktober.
Which is normal.
Not normal. No, not normal. Not normal. Tak, not normal at all.
Dipendekkan tu pernah berlaku kan? I mean, not just everywhere lah.
I mean,
everywhere.
Pernah berlaku. I mean, orang kena panah peti pun pernah berlaku. But it's not
but
normal.
Unlikely. Okay? Unlikely. Okay.
But unlikely. Okay. Normally, extension is the way and... Let's say an organization doesn't like you lah. Ni Mat Pis, I don't like your face, but you're the CEO. What do I do?
I
will get a deputy. No. I will let you run your course and I will elect some other dude ataupun girl, let some other person to be deputy CEO ke ataupun jawatan pelik, you know, ataupun jawatan
COO masuk,
COO ni executive director lain tapi sama, that kind of shit, you know. And then all the responsibilities are given to this person. Normally it's like that. But this is dipendekkan besok terus. Dia umum 18, 19 dia kena buang. So that is not normal. Okay. So that is fakta. Fakta tau. Fakta. Okay. Fakta yang dipendekkan dan fakta tak normal. Ada lagi fakta. Dia dapat renewal contract dia pada Disember 22. So itu fakta.
Okay.
Dan... ada lagi satu fakta, civil servant, ya, penjawat awam, biasanya meletak jawatan sekiranya dia ada isu kesihatan ataupun dihalau disebabkan bad conduct ataupun dijadikan sebagai political scapegoat. Like what the IRB assess Najib on the donation received, contohnya. So there is this issue where is he a political scapegoat or is he dismissed because of bad conduct or is he resigning because of health issues? So far, I have not heard anything about health issues. And so far, I don't know whether this is bad conduct. The only thing left is political scapegoat. That's the only thing left. Now, is he? I don't know. We don't have the facts. So... itu we've seen how abrupt resignations have happened. Tunku Ali Zakri of EPF meletak jawatan sebaik sahaja Aisina dilancarkan. Nick Hashuddin, mantan tabung haji CEO, meletak jawatan sebaik sahaja pengumuman yang pelaburan bertaraf pelaburan tabung haji di jatuh, drop, ya, yeah? Meaning that there is an unexplained number ringgit transfer to somewhere. We don't know. We have no data. We have no proof. Okay. So we've seen how people abruptly resign. So now the question is, did he abruptly resign or was he dismissed? Ataupun was there a quarrel inside? Whatever it is, it's not normal. But we don't have the facts. So let's just stick to what. Apa nama yang ada depan mata, iaitu kontrak dia dipendekkan. And this is the before we end this podcast. Things tend to surface over time.
Betul.
It that's normally the case, is right? Floats. Ni, kalau kau salah makan, kau pergi ni, ada orang kata floater. It's a floater, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Eventually, shit will surface.
Eventually.
It might be not today. Eventually. Alright, so we just have to just relax saja. Eventually, benda ni semua kita dapat tahu nanti.
On that note, whether it's a floater or not, kita akan nantikan. Terima kasih kerana mendengar sesi podcast episode 30 podcast Abbas bersama aku dan Yim. Kami ingin mengucapkan terima kasih kepada semua pendengar kerana teruskan memberi sokongan kepada kami dan harap akan terus menyokong kami dalam episod-episod akan datang. Seperti biasa, hantarkan komen, feedback, malu balas dan sebagainya pada us@amans.my. Aku ulang sekali lagi, us@amans.my. Sekian saja daripada aku dan Yem untuk kali ini. Kita bertemu lagi di sesi akan datang.
Podcast ini dibawakan oleh Amans TV. Minat dunia tech, gadget dan smartphone? Jom ikuti Amans hari ini. Kami berkongsi pelbagai video berkaitan review telefon, komputer, laptop, gaming, app dan lain-lain lagi. Kami juga bawakan tutorial dan wawancara bersama pelbagai personaliti di dalam dunia teknologi. Cari Amans TV di YouTube, Facebook dan Instagram hari ini.
Podcast ini disokong oleh Permata Sapura, pencakar langit ikonik baru di tengah-tengah Kuala Lumpur. Bangunan indah ini diilhamkan menggunakan profil siluet Gunung Kinabalu yang berdiri megah. Permata Sapura dianugerahkan dengan unit komersial terbaik di Kuala Lumpur oleh CIDBQ Lasik Achievement Award, Lembaga Pembangunan Industri Pembinaan Malaysia. Berlatar belakangkan menara berkembar Petronas dan dihubungkan dengan KL Convention Center. Permata Sapura, lokasi pejabat yang eksklusif dan terindah di Kuala Lumpur. Hubungi Permata Sapura sekarang untuk tujuan melawat lokasi dan menyewa tapak pejabat.